If you want to turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, we've been studying in Colossians chapter 3, and we're down to verse 5, and I want to begin reading in verse 1, and we'll start studying in verse 5. Colossians 3, 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory." Now, what I want to mention here is that in verses 1 through 4, we have a statement related to our standing in Christ. That's what he's talking about when he says, "For you are dead." Obviously, Paul is writing to people that are alive physically. But he's writing to people who are... he says, "You are dead, life is hid with Christ in God." So, he makes that statement in relation to our positional standing. And then he says in verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory." We were talking about in our message this morning about eternal life, how that eternal life does not start when you die. And when you study the subject of eternal life in the Bible, what you find out is that the idea is that the fact that we have eternal life, that speaks to our future after death, after resurrection and so forth. But it also speaks to the fact that it ought to have, the fact that we have eternal life ought to have an impact on our physical or our practical life as we live day by day. That's what we have here in this passage as well. Because Paul is contrasting the two. And when you get down to verse 5, he says, "Mortify, therefore, your members." In other words, the word "therefore" refers back to what's already been said. And he says, "Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth." Your physical body is upon the earth. But where are you spiritually? You're seated together with Him in heavenly places. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Well, where is Christ? Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Then where are you? You're seated together with Him in heavenly places in Christ. So positionally, that's where we are. And when He appears, then we're going to appear with Him in glory. And we looked at that appearing last week. In light of the fact that we are dead with Christ, we're hid with Christ in God, and we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then Paul says that ought to have an effect on our members that are upon the earth. And what is that effect? Well, he says, "Mortify, therefore, your members." That tells us that we are to... there's an action involved on our part. In other words, he doesn't say that your members have become dead to sin and that kind of thing. That's where we are spiritually. But he says, in light of that, "Mortify, therefore, your members." The word "mortify," it simply means to deaden or to subdue. We get the word "mortician." The root of the word is death. A mortician deals with those that are dead. We are to mortify, or deaden, or subdue our members which are upon the earth. In other words, he's already said, you're dead, and your life is here with Christ in God. Well, that's a spiritual standing. What are we to do practically? We are to put to death, therefore, our members. Just like we are dead spiritually, we're to become dead physically to sin. "Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth." And then he lists certain things: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now, verses like this oftentimes cause people difficulty in reconciling these verses with being saved by grace through faith. Because just on the surface, it appears that perhaps these things would cause a person... from going to heaven. He says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." And in verse 6 he says, "For which thing's sake," and he lists those things, "the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. And verse 7 is really the key to the whole thing. But what I want us to look at tonight is, number one, the mortification, if you will, or mortifying, therefore, your members. Look in Galatians chapter 5. I'll tell you, before we go there, look in Ephesians 5 first. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, for this you know, that no homemonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, or kingdom of Christ, and of God. There again, the verse is difficult if you don't look at it in the context of our position in Christ and so forth. He says, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon who? The children of disobedience. Now, look, if you will, in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, and we've looked at these verses, the verses in Romans 6, not this particular one, but the verses in Romans 6 tie right in with Colossians chapter 3, in that it talks about our positional standing versus our spiritual standing. But in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, he says, "Shall we continue? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" He goes through the whole thing about us being crucified with Christ, buried with him in baptism. And you get down to verse 13 and notice what he says there. He says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are what? Alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So there is that positional place that we have back in verse 3, 4, and 5. Verse 5, we've been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So again, always there's that balance of the spiritual versus the physical. And what causes the confusion is that people don't reckon, or they don't look at those differences many times, and they confuse the two. Now look in Galatians chapter 5, if you will. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. In verse 16, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other." That is that's the dilemma of us living in a body of flesh, and that is why Paul says, "Mortify therefore your members." Paul said, "To whom ye yield your members, servants to obey, his servants you are." You see, in Christ Jesus, you are complete. You are holy and without blame before him in love. You are perfect as far as God is concerned because he sees you in his Son, Jesus Christ. But that is certainly not where we are in the flesh, because he says here, "The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." Now notice, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, excuse me, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it goes down in verse 24, or verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, they that are Christ have come to a place in their life where they're no longer trusting in their flesh to bring about their salvation. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Now, there are those that teach that that verse right there indicates that there is a sinless perfection. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And so people will go there and say, see, if you're Christ, then you will not sin. And if you do sin, then that means you're not saved, you're not of Christ. And that's a very heresy, because it is taking the verse completely out of context. After all, he just said back in verse 17, the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. And then when you get down in verse 25, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit is having trusted Christ as your Savior. We have the Spirit of God now indwelling us. We're sealed by the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. And that sets us apart from the lost world that Paul talks about, the children of disobedience. Go over to Ephesians, back to Ephesians again, to Ephesians chapter 2. And also, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6 first. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, all of these verses that we're reading, the verse there in Colossians chapter 3, the verse in Ephesians chapter 5, the verse here in Galatians 5, the verse in 1 Corinthians 6, all of these verses are verses that people will look at and they come to the conclusion that works are involved for salvation on the basis of these verses. But there's something very important that we have to notice. In verse 11, Paul says concerning these Corinthians, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, we've read that verse several times in talking about this contrast between our spiritual state and our practical state or our standing. And what this verse points out is, he said, such were some of you, those things that he listed back in verse 9, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. A great example of the fact that there is a difference in our spiritual standing and our fleshly standing is just the chapter before in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 1 through 5. Notice there. It is reported commonly. By the way, the first thing that Paul mentions over there in Colossians chapter 3 in reference to mortifying therefore your members is fornication. Well, in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1, the Bible says it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan, notice, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, folks, if that doesn't make it clear, I don't know what would, that there is a distinction, as far as God is concerned, with the flesh and the spirit. Remember what he said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6? He said, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters. Well, was the man in chapter 5 a fornicator? Yes, he was. But what did Paul say about him? He said to deliver him unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And there's much that could be said about those verses. We won't take time to do that tonight. But the fact is that verifies and shows clearly that there is a difference in our spiritual state and our physical state, our fleshly state, if you will. And so when Paul says that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, the disobedient shall not inherit the kingdom of God, that does not include people who are saved, because spiritually we have a standing and a position with Jesus Christ as complete, perfect, holy, blameless, and so forth. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, where I started to have you go there a moment ago, in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1, Paul says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." What's always stood out to me in 1 Corinthians 6 and Ephesians chapter 2 is really what jumps out to me is what is not said. Like in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he lists all those things they've done. And he doesn't say, "But such were some of you, but you have repented and turned away from those things." What did he say? He said, "Such were some of you, but you're washed. You're justified." He lists all of these things that these people were when they walked according to the course of this world. And verse 4, what does he say the first two words? "But God." You see, the issue is not that these people quit doing these things necessarily. He deals with that in chapter 4. We'll look at that in a minute. The issue is not that these people got saved by quitting that which they were doing. The issue is, but God. They were blinded. They were dead. They were walking in the lust of their flesh. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." You see, folks, the quickening didn't take place because we stopped doing something or because we started doing something. The quickening took place because we believed something. Back in chapter 1, verse 13, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Again, you see what he didn't say? He didn't say after you turned from your sins and quit doing those works of the flesh, you were sealed. He said after you believed. And so today there's so much confusion among people because they don't distinguish the things that are said about the spirit versus the flesh. In our flesh, we're a miserable lot. We have all the temptations that we had before we got saved. But thank God for those words, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us." He goes on to say, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God." So it is of utmost importance that we always distinguish between our positional standing with Christ and our practical standing in the flesh. Now, to verify this even more, look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Here's the issue. he says in verse 17, "This I say therefore," after he's written all that he's written in chapter 1, 2, and 3 about our position in Christ and the dispensation of grace and all those things. He says in verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." You see, what Paul is saying there, in effect, is the way I've always paraphrased it, is this. If you're saved, then you ought to live like you're saved. He said, you ought to be walking like those Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Why? He said, their understanding is darkened, but ours is not. He said, they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance in them because of their blindness of their heart. But he says, you've not so learned Christ. If so be that you've heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth in Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Over in Colossians 3:5, what did he say? Mortify, therefore, your members. Put to death your members. What does he say here? He said, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Why? Because the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other. And so we are instructed to mortify the members. Put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be angry and sin not. And he goes on down through there and lists all of those things that we're to put off and the things that we're to put on. Now, go back to Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3. And I want us to look. We won't take a great deal of time on this. But I want us to look at these things that Paul mentions there in relation to our members. And our members simply has to do with our body. Paul uses the body as an illustration over in 1 Corinthians 12. He says we have many members. And he talks about the hand and the foot and all of them having a different function. Well, our members are to be put to death. I was thinking a moment ago about this verse and a story that Brother Moore used to tell about he was in somebody was in a revival. And they had the altar call, you know, and the people were coming up there, and the man came up there and he took his shoes off and he laid them on the altar. And so he got up and went back to his seat. And the preacher asked him, he said, What's going on here? What's the deal with the shoes down here? He said, I'm putting those shoes on the altar because they've been taking me places I ought not to go. Hey, folks, it wasn't the shoes taking him places he ought not to go. It was his members taking him places he ought not to go. There you go. Yeah, if your eye offend you, pluck it out. If your hand offend you, cut it off. Well, hey, it's evidently a little too drastic. It's pretty easy to give a pair of shoes. It's a little different to give up your feet. But what Paul is saying, mortify therefore your members. Why? Because your feet might take you places you ought not to go. Your hands might get you involved in some things you ought not to do. Your tongue might say some things you ought not to say. Your desires might cause you to do some things you ought not to do. What's the secret? Mortify therefore your members. Why? You're dead with